This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And now, ready to drink cocktails like High Noon, Crown Royal, and Jack Daniels. And the pickle bar led by the two personal favorites, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for New Year's now at Brewers Outlet. Very pleased to bring in my good friend, Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank, welcome back. It's so great to hear you.
So great to hear you as well. Hope you had a great Christmas, and I think we're going to be spending our New Year's Eve in a similar fashion, it seems.
Yes, I believe we shall. As a matter of fact, at least it's close to Zoe's family, right? Relatively.
Yeah. Yeah. Same time zone. We'll give it that. I think you can get to Vegas at least in like 5 hours from Salt Lake. So it's drivable at the very least. But I've been only a couple of places when we've been out there. So my sense of geography before going was basically zero, and it's still basically zero.
Yeah, I've probably done a few more games out there than you have. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're the master, I mean, brilliant of the film breakdown. Brilliant at it. When you look at, let's just start with Boise State. Genty reminds me a lot in result of Barry Sanders. 2 yards, 3 yards, lost two, gained one, lost one, 80 yards. Am I right or wrong about that?
So I think there's a certain aspect, and someone actually brought this up, that is a little bit like Saquon when at Penn State, where I think with Barry Sanders, and you would know more Barry Sanders than I would. I've seen a lot of the highlights. I don't see him retreating. And I know you said in results, but the process to me is what's important. And I'm just so impressed by his process. He reads the hole well. He makes a lot of really good decisions, but I don't know that his offensive line consistently puts him in a chance to succeed, which is scary given the fact that he's got like 2,400 yards on the season. So yeah, baked in there is a little bit of that 2 yards, 2 yards, 20 yards, where he just suddenly, he finds a hole and he's able to attack it and they get him to the edge and suddenly he gets a chunk play. But I wouldn't, I guess the difference, when I think of Barry Sanders, I think of dancing around in the backfield and trying to elude defenders.
Right. Right.
I think he's just so natural and fluid that there's a little bit of, a little bit of that difference in my mind when you bring that up, I guess, in the imagery of what I'm looking
right,
at.
Right, and I'm sorry, that's why I said result. I didn't say style. Yeah, result. Sure. The other part, too, is that last year, going back a year ago, he was used a lot in the pass game. They haven't used him a lot in the pass game this year. When you watch the breakdown, is it just because he's running so well they don't have to?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm still going through some of the film on the offense, and I've been focusing primarily on the ground game because that's been where they've used him primarily, to your point. It seems like the offense is very predicated on him and then the deception of him. So if you're going to be doing play action and everyone's drawn one way and then you boot out the other way, it's harder to get the running back involved than if you're going to use him as such a, you know, the celestial body of like he has such a gravity about him that he's going to take the defense one way, giving you the opportunity to open up other guys in the offense, you know, in play action and some of those play action shots. Because when they're not running quick game, they want to get the ball down the field on some bigger hitters. And that's when they do it on play action. And that's, I think, 36% of their the quarterback's dropbacks have been, you know, in that vein, and then, you know, his average depth of target on those goes up, and it's harder to then involve the running back when he is that key cog in the play action to draw everyone one way.
Right. By the way, just so everybody knows, Genty has 10 runs of 60 yards or better this season. That's the big play capability. When you look at the defense, we know the pass rush, the TFLs are there. But when you look at a defense as to how they play overall, And the fact that they have 3 weeks off, you and I both know what suffers in 3 weeks off. Tackling. How well does Boise State tackle?
Not well. Not well at all. They're hyper-aggressive. And I think part of it is, you know, over-pursuit, and then there is, like, zero in the secondary, the safety. I don't know. I was watching film this week with my buddy Landon Tengwall. We do the tailgate show before your show on the Sports Network. We were joking that I don't know that zero for Boise State understands that he has arms because he only throws shoulders. Sometimes he throws his head. He doesn't actually wrap up ever. So, you know, I think as much as we talk about Ashton Gentry and the broken tackles and Penn State, you know, some of their issues this year with making sure that they contain and they actually bring the ball carrier down once they get to the ball carrier, it's the same thing on the other side where, you know, if Nick Singleton and Catron Allen get into the open against this defense, there could be big plays on both sides, on the ground and through the air. And that's been an area where Penn State has been improved quite a bit, is especially Nick Singleton getting to the second level and then making that player miss it at the second level over the last 3 weeks of the season. He was starting out the season very strong doing that. Obviously, he got banged up, and that kind of went away for a while. Now that it's back, I think that's a huge thing in this game because Penn State typically doesn't give up the explosive plays. You know, they'll miss some tackles, but then the safeties in the corners, everybody rallies to stop, you know, a 60-yard touchdown like you mentioned. Maybe they can do that against Ashton Gentry, but on the flip side, if Nick Singleton gets a crease, I don't know that there's anyone on Boise State that's going to be running him down. So it's going to be very critical on both sides of the ball, but especially with Boise State, they're the worst tackling team in America in terms of percentage of missed tackles versus tackle opportunities.
Yeah.
So it's huge, and it's something, as you mentioned, that with 3 weeks off, you got to make sure you keep that thing sharp.
Yeah, all right. When you watch the videos, what do you think of the competition Boise State played?
It's so frustrating.
I mean,
it's so frustrating.
I mean, to me, they're hard to gauge.
Oregon didn't play a good game.
No.
Yeah, the Oregon struggled, and then, you know, you look at some of the UNLV is probably their best competition this year in terms of a team that pushed them and didn't allow them to be who they were all year. And I'm getting distracted watching the breakdowns of, like, just obvious mistakes that UNLV is making. Totally blown gaps, planned coverages in a way that I know Penn State doesn't play those things of, you know, safeties being in the wrong position or completely not paying attention to their assignment. And not, if you're a deep safety and it's man coverage and you have half the field to cover and a guy goes deep, you're supposed to follow him, Steve. Whether he's got a guy or not, in that particular coverage, that should be a double team. And there was a touchdown on that play. And I looked at it, I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. Because as much as Penn State maybe has struggled recently of they've allowed some bigger plays through the secondary, they don't just fully break down on the basics. And so, yeah, the level of competition and the translatable, what does this say about what Penn State could do? That's why I'm still working through some of these things, and I'm taking extra time to watch the film. I've been trying to watch as much of the defense to start because that's where I think the answer to this game lies in if Penn State can score and score quickly. Nobody has gotten Boise State out of rhythm. Nobody's forced them off their game script of feeding Ashton Gentry the ball all game long. There's only been one game that I've counted so far where they've been down by at least 14 points. That was San Diego. I think it was San Diego State.
It was San Diego.
And then they give up the ball at the 2-yard line, and San Diego State does. And then, you know, Boise State rallies. By halftime, the game is tied, and they're right back in the game, able to do what they normally do. It's just been, it's been the translation factor in all of these situations of how Penn State's offense can take advantage of a defense that schematically, there's some things in there that Penn State can take advantage of, and that they have all season. So what is Boise State going to do with those 3 weeks off to change some of those things up and protect against that? And what are they going to have to do because that's who they are? That's the biggest challenge for me is understanding kind of that gulf between those two ideas.
Yeah, it's an issue. What do you think of the quarterback? I mean, it's, and I know you've been concentrating a lot on the running game. I mean, he's only thrown three interceptions. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out he is an absolute beneficiary of having number two behind him. But when he actually does throw the ball, how good is he? Because obviously Tom knows Cam Camper, Tom Allen, because he played for him in Indiana. So he, that's their top receiver. But what do you think of the quarterback?
I'll be honest. That's the area where I was going to go to next to take a look at what is – because I expect that Boise State's going to throw something at Penn State they haven't expected. They may come out and do things that they haven't done. Because basic 3 weeks is like training camp at this point where you get an additional install period if you want it. And so I do think he's going to play a big part in this game. What I have seen of him is that he's a good facilitator, good decision maker, but he's making a lot of pretty simple reads, at least from what I've seen of. They, again, like I said, quick game, meaning he's just looking at either half field reads or he's trying to pick apart zone defenses. And then he's making select shot plays and doing half field reads on play action where he's got, you know, kind of a levels concept where he's just picking the guy that's open based on the way the coverage flows to the available target. So I haven't seen him make a full field read at this point. Now, again, like I said, 90% of their offense is run plays with Ashton Jensen anyway.
Sure.
But it is something that they're going to see some third and longs. So how does he perform in those situations, and how does the offensive line perform in those situations? Because I think the offensive line is pretty good. They got some good run blockers up front, but certainly not a complete unit. And so I don't think that we fully know after a full season the depth of the talent at Boise State. We can assume that there are cracks, but they just physically haven't been shown all that often. So that's where, like I said, like I'm trying to go through all the film and trying to find all the situations of who has stressed them, where has the stress come from, how has it happened, and it's just hard when Ashton Jeanty on 2nd and 7 gets you 12 yards and suddenly the chains are reset and any opportunity to learn that is now gone. And on top of that, there is no Abdul Carter on the other side. There's guys that maybe could give you some flashes of Penn State's defensive line capabilities, but they don't have four across. They haven't seen four across that have played the way that Penn State's defensive line plays all season. And I include that game against Oregon because that defensive line played much better the rest of the season, you know, until they met the Penn State offensive line in the championship game. So I don't know. Maybe they were also who they were in that game, and we just didn't realize it for another 2 months.
Right. It's possible. Anybody that you've seen on tape so far, you know, Genty's an obvious one, but somebody else we set back, you know what? That dude can play.
I like the defensive tackles.
Yes.
I think in a couple of games that I've seen them, they can be physical and disruptive in the run game.
Yep.
I wouldn't put them on a level of the Minnesota defensive line that gave Penn State problems or, you know, some of the other good defensive lines Penn State's seen, but they could play. And so that unit, I think, from the run game perspective, I respect that front four especially. So those are the I think the tackles specifically are the ones that I'm keying in on pretty early. And then I know it's kind of off the board, but I love the defensive scheme. So those players play hard, they play together, but they absolutely benefit from the way they attack. I was looking at some of the, you know, watching the way they blitz, it feels like they blitz on every single play.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, but when they do, they send six or more, I want to say 40% of the time. So almost half the time they're blitzing, they're sending overloads and pressures where you are either confused and you're letting a free runner get through, or you don't have enough blockers and the quarterback is hot on those plays. So as much as the sack totals are impressive, I think the scheme does a lot of heavy lifting to make the players look. I don't want to be disrespectful because they got some good pass rushers. You know, they got some good bodies on that defensive line, but Penn State's pass rush is better, and they don't have as many sacks. So, like, that's what I'm trying to get at is the scheme elevates everybody who is playing at a good quality football level.
Penn State, of course, is coming off the win over SMU. The conditions were tough for kicking games. They were tough for passing games. The conditions aren't going to come into play in this. It's going to be indoors and on grass.
Yeah.
as a matter of fact. How much does that help and benefit Penn State that it's indoors on grass and they don't have to deal with the wind and they don't have to deal with the cold temperatures?
Well, I think it benefits them that they can have a complete game on offense if they can execute, as opposed to it being a ground game, where if that were at home and you had two, like it would certainly even the playing field against a team like Boise State over SMU. And this is where I have a hard time with that game. And I had to kind of, I mean, Steve, you were there. I was not there. I was in my studio. I was in my cozy office breaking down the film live during the game. From a cognitive process, how much more difficult is it to operate in that cold and wind from the mental perspective? The physical side, I think, is apparent. Like, guys were not as fast. But I saw guys that weren't as mentally fast, and that is the part that I think, if that changes, then Penn State's offense, there is no answer for the Boise State defense if Penn State's offense is playing at its best and playing balanced.
Yeah. Any early thoughts on what will be important in this game, based on, you know, some of the limited stuff you've broken down on each side? What will be important for us to watch Tuesday night?
So, I mentioned, I've got a better sense of the defense, and because I think that's where the offense is Ashton Jeanty and friends. And so third and long situations are incredibly important for Penn State, as they always are. Starting fast, which I think means the offense has to chuck the ball around a little bit. They've come out in the last two games and they've thrown the ball aggressively in the first quarter. James Franklin talked about calling the game to win and having no regrets. And on the offensive side, that has meant it's been aggressive. This Boise State defense, schematically, is the type of defense that Penn State and Drew Aller have shredded with deep passes this year. So if they're able to get, and that's, I think, the biggest thing. You mentioned that extra time off, Penn State throwing the deep ball. If they get the looks they're expecting, I would expect, if they get things that throw Drew Aller off and they have to pivot to the ground game, I think this game goes a little bit further into the typical game flow that we've seen recently. Mm-hmm. But being a fast start, I don't, even with Sebastian Jeanty, that Boise State could match Penn State at its best. And that means Drew Aller's ding, Nick Singleton, and Catron Allen, they're breaking tackles, everything that we kind of have put together. Schematically, I think Penn State has a huge advantage to the pressure packages and the aggression of the front. And so I guess that's the biggest thing. If they can keep Drew Aller clean and mentally centered, then I don't think that this is a contest.
Interesting. We'll see how it plays out, my friend. You're really the best at doing this. And by the way, Josh Allen's having an incredible year.
Yeah, you know, the funny, first off, Steve, thank you for saying that. I appreciate the kind words. BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, if you want to read any of these or have this conversation with me, we can talk on the message board like Steve. Josh Allen also tanked my fantasy season by having 12 points against the Patriots when I was on the cusp of the championship game. But I still love him, and I'm very happy that he's in the MVP conversation. Even if he doesn't win it, I don't want to complain about my small little part of the world.
Thanks so much, T. Frank. We'll see you out there.
All right. See you, Steve.
Thomas Frank Carr, always doing great work. Nobody does a better film breakdown than Thomas Frank Carr, and people really appreciate it. I mean, they really do. And I think that's so important that that everybody gets that kind of breakdown in a game. Because I think people are looking for that little extra advantage as to what they see, and T. Frank gives it to them. Okay, so this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, by the way. And not only that, new additions for you to get excited about. And they now have on hand ready-to-drink cocktails like High Noon, Crown Royal, Jack Daniels, All Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Summary, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.